I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl.
The beginning of March 2020, we were all going about our lives, doing our thing. Everything seemed normal. Little did we know that in just a few weeks, the world would shut down, lockdowns and mandates and all other forms of insanity would prevail. So we're going to talk about the reflecting on that time and the fallout and activities that have happened since then, and maybe what we should be concerned about in the future. I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And I'm Stephanie Coxon. And we are two women inspiring real life. Let's twirl.
So Stephanie, I was just thinking, beginning of March 2020, I was doing my thing. I remember saying, it's a bat in China. What's the big deal?
It's on a cruise ship saying the same thing, oddly enough.
Yeah. So I didn't think anything. And I look at different Facebook posts and things that I had back then. I didn't think anything was going to be happening. Little did I know, March 16th, I think, was the date that everything shut down and all levels of insanity happened. Do you reflect upon that time at all?
I do. I think about it all the time because I think to myself, you know, I never actually shut down personally. Like my house became Grand Central Station,
right?
Because I looked at this as like, you know, party time for me and my kids since we can't go anywhere. And so we took walks. We went to Starbucks regularly. Grocery store is like my favorite place to go.
And why was that, Stephanie?
Because I can walk around and just, you know, see people and scare them, getting close to
them. That's right. Because you didn't wear a mask, so.
Well, we weren't masking at the very beginning.
That's correct.
Yeah, we weren't masking yet. I was just ignoring everything anyway, because I thought it was absolutely ridiculous, the whole thing.
I have to admit, I mean, at first I said, this is nothing. I worked for a charity. I worked for the Salvation Army at the time. And our operations director said, we need to be prepared in case something would happen. We need to, and I was like, what's going to happen? We're fine. But she was right. I mean, to be prepared. And then I have to admit, when everything happened, I was pretty sure, because I was one of the eight to stay on site to do things. And I have to admit, I thought we were all going to die.
You also are just now realizing there might be something to organic food. So I can understand that.
Yes, I was pretty sure it was going to be, you know, like the Ten Commandments movie, where the like angel of death goes and the people just start dropping. When I was out helping people with food, because of course they couldn't work, so they were needing food, more people needed assistance, I thought I'm just going to fall over. So I was like that for about a week or two, and then I quit the pandemic.
See, that's good. It didn't take you long.
No.
There's some people still living in it.
Oh, I know. I see those people. And I quit because just so much stuff seemed ridiculous. I mean, I'd be in the grocery store and I'd think, why is that piece of saran wrap on the checkout thing any better than me just touching the little card reader?
Yes. Yeah. The whole thing was ridiculous. I think for me, you know, I've always looked at terrain theory versus germ theory. Have you heard of those?
I have not.
So germ theory is like a germ's going to get you, right? So there's a germ, it goes into your body, it makes you sick. Terrain theory is more of the idea that your body can handle germs, right? It's just, what is the terrain? What can it handle? I think probably people, I'm trying to think of a good example. It's not really coming to me, but I've always thought, well, as long as I keep my body healthy, I'll be okay because my body can fight. Your body's always in survival mode. So it's always fighting.
Your immune system.
Yeah.
Forthright.
Yeah. It's fighting to keep you alive. So I just thought, well, I'll just boost my immune system and everything will be fine. It's, you know, and I kind of thought, well, this is a cold. It's coronavirus. I thought this is kind of funny, you know, that people are freaking out over a cold. But yeah, so I just did not take it very seriously because I thought, well, we eat well, we take vitamins. What's the big deal? And that held true for us, but it's not been a big deal for our family.
Well, and I, you and I met actually right around the beginning of all this time.
Yes.
And we met a whole nother group of people because of pandemic quitters.
Yes.
Yes. Which actually we say has turned out to be one of the best
moments of our life.
Correct. And you told me, you said, everyone's kind of going to get this. And when you do get it, I got you and it's going to be okay.
Yep.
So.
And you listened.
I did.
You listened.
I did. 2020 was a pivotal moment in my life. And I think also just thinking about things like, you know, the saran wrap on the card reader. Remember the directional signage in the grocery store? Like if you went down the aisle one way, that would protect you from germs.
I kind of remember it. I didn't pay attention to it at all, but
I didn't either. I purposely went the opposite way.
Yes, that was the fun part of going to the grocery store.
Yes, that was very fun.
Yeah. Being vaccine risk aware early on,
yourself,
myself, really made me kind of hypersensitive to the propaganda. And I think for me, I was able to recognize certain signs because I felt like I had already been through that when I had vaccinated my children. I felt like the fear factor had been used on me. I felt like there wasn't any legitimate studies that the doctors had actually given me. And, you know, all I saw was the damage that had been done to my children. And so I felt like that was just the same road. So for me, it was super easy. And one of the reasons I was trying to warn everyone, because I really looked at this as, oh no, they're going to come out with a vaccine that they're going to try to convince that everyone needs and is going to harm people. And that's what happened. And I said that from the beginning.
You did. And I admit to another thing. And today we're just kind of chatting about all of these different things like water cooler talk, round the table talk that we know a lot of people probably talk about or should talk about or want to talk about, but are afraid to. But I, in the beginning, as I mentioned, I thought we were all going to die. Then I thought, this doesn't make any sense. This is ridiculous. Then I thought, and I said this famously, I wish they'd just get a vaccine and end the whole thing.
Yes.
I did say that. You know that I did. And then also, because I wasn't where you were with that at that point, again, I did this crazy thing of thinking.
And how dare you?
I know it's something you're not supposed to do these days.
No, you're not supposed to research.
No.
You're not supposed to have any knowledge beyond what Fauci tells you.
Correct. And that was the other thing that bothered me. Like, when in my lifetime have I ever heard of doctors being censored and told they couldn't prescribe things, and the push, the TV commercials to get this vaccine? It was insane. And I remember reading something, and I'd never been, you know, against vaccines. I mean, I was like,
oh yeah, look, you're waiting for it to show up.
I was like, give me the shot. I don't care.
Yeah.
But then I was reading that the average vaccine in the history took 7 to 10 years for approval, and only 2% were approved. And I'm like, how in the heck is this thing going to be approved like in days practically? Right. And that maddening push to get it, and people being threatened, losing their jobs.
Yeah.
To me, that I was asked to sign papers at my work, and I was like, I'm not signing that. So I had, whereas you and probably people listening have two different, you were like, no way from the beginning.
Right.
I had to kind of see different things, but I did see it. And I was amazed at all the people that didn't.
Well, I think for me, knowing that there's no liability for vaccinations, you know, is a big like red flag. Should be a red flag for anyone, right?
Right.
Like, if you're putting out a product, you need to take ownership of that product. In the case of vaccines and only vaccines, the manufacturers don't have to take ownership of that. So there's no one that's liable if something happens to you. And up until 1986, people were, you know, the reason that happened was because people were actually suing the vaccine manufacturers because of the damage being done to their children. And they were threatening to stop making vaccines. And so in order to protect the vaccine companies and continue to have vaccines made, they allowed this liability to go away. And that's how we got to this point, because when we were young, Kathy, we may have gotten 5 vaccines.
Right.
To date, on the 2024 schedule, I believe up until the age of 18, it's 90 vaccinations with 14 different ones, meaning that there's like 4-in-1 or 3-in-1, that sort of thing. So, but a total of 90 vaccinations, where you and I had 5 or 6, and the average person doesn't see a little, you know, again, that red flag that, okay, we went from a couple to a massive amount with no legal liability for these families. And so, you know, I've been awake to this for a while now. Unfortunately, I learned the hard way.
Right.
You know,
and you do own a natural health practice, and, you know, are all over these kinds of things.
Yes.
Yes. And like I say, I'm
because I had to fix my children that I had damaged listening to the propaganda originally. I mean, honestly, that's where like a lot of this
so
comes
you had
out
a personal
of.
Experience.
I had a personal experience. Yes.
And it wasn't COVID vaccines. It was other vaccines.
Correct. Yes. Yes. And now we're at the point, and I don't know if you see, and the reason we're like really kind of going into this is now you've got the American Red Cross asking donors if they've received the COVID vaccine. And if you check yes, you actually have to communicate with someone before you're allowed to donate. So you have to make a phone call and or fill out additional information. So something is happening for that to take place.
And, you know, I think it's funny because, you know, we, as I mentioned, I don't know about you, but a lot of my sphere of people that I'm with the most after COVID and through the whole vaccine totally changed, because there were people that were friends and colleagues that I was outspoken, you know, I quit the pandemic and I was kind of being snarky and so forth, that they didn't want to be around me. I was disinvited to a lot of things.
Yeah.
I was told not to, you know, no, thank you. We don't want to be your friend anymore and so forth because I was unvaccinated. And we had a whole group, I don't know if you remember, that talked about we needed to have the pure bloods and we needed to have a way to make sure, this was like a year or two ago, to make sure if we're in a car accident, how are we going to get the right kind of blood?
Yeah, we have emergency. I still have my emergency B blood on standby in case something happens. Yes, ma'am.
So when you see that, like the American Red Cross saying something like that, it starts to make, it validates things that I thought were screwed up.
Yes, absolutely.
But here's the thing that concerns me, and I don't know I know probably the answer. There's still a lot of people that have not awakened to this. Like,
I see them driving around their cars alone with a mask on. Yes.
And I don't understand that. I don't understand. There's people. How many vaccines could you get now at this point?
I believe there's six boosters.
Six?
I think. I mean, look, they're passing them out as quickly as they can get them. And I don't even know if it's not, if is it still under, you know, experimental?
Or the emergency authorization.
Yes. I don't know if it's still under that authorization or not. I should look it up. It's interesting. And what's also interesting, I was reading something from Dr. Bowden, and she was saying that there's 146 elected officials, 127 candidates, one surgeon general, and one Republican Party county committee from 39 different states stating that the COVID shots must be pulled off the market. We pulled off the H1N1 vaccine, I think after a few deaths. I can't remember the exact number, no more than 25. Those were pulled. Here, we are looking at data, and they are trying to come up with all sorts of different ways to make it seem like people are naturally just having more heart attacks, right? Like, I've heard gardening causes heart attacks.
Yes.
I've seen now memes can cause heart attacks. Someone, right. You know, there's actually an article where someone relates having heart attacks to
funny memes.
Yes, to funny memes. Like, we are trying to figure out everything under the sun that can increase your cardiac risk, and not looking at the one thing that we all know is the
thing that changed.
Right, the thing that changed. So it is alarming what we're seeing and how they're still trying to use propaganda to convince people that it's not the shot.
Do you think that people, that there will be a mass awakening to this or not? What do you think about that?
I think, well, so the uptake on the boosters is extremely low.
So the people not getting it.
People not getting it. Yeah.
I saw that.
So,
yeah.
So there must be some sort of awakening, but people are still going in, getting their flu shots and other things, thinking that there, you know, there's no difference. Let me tell you, I was in the 80s. I was in tobacco country. Kids were not dying in their cribs from filled cigarettes and too many pillows in their cribs, right? Like, SIDS was not as abundant as it is today. Now we have adults dying in their sleep suddenly, right? So now we have the adult version of that. People need to wake up to this.
Well, I think the concerning thing for me, I know we know a coroner who has talked about seeing blood clots when he's doing autopsies, you know, strange blood clots. And also when he does see that something was connected to a vaccine, a death, obviously doing an autopsy, he really has no way to even, there's nowhere on the form. I mean, I don't know how that works, but there's no way to say, this is what I think, or they just won't accept that. So it's hard to tell. You can't trust the data, really.
No. It's, you know, unless it's coming out of private places that don't have an interest in it, which is, you know, the government has an interest in covering things up because they killed so many people, right?
Right.
I mean, and in reality, they need to, because what happens if the government comes out and say, well, we made a mistake. Everyone's dying who got the shot. We're seeing everyone fall over on the football fields, on the basketball
young
courts. Young people. I mean, you know, that age group of what was 18 to 44, or no, 25 to 44, has the biggest, you know, incident of those increased mortality rates.
Well, do you think this whole COVID thing, I mean, when the lockdowns and mandates happened, I mean, so many people complied, so many businesses. Last week we talked to a business or in 2 weeks ago, a business that closed down because the mandate, you know, put them out of business. I think I read that 600,000 businesses were closed, you know, never recovered from those. Do you think if something like this were to ever happen again, I'm sure, of course, it never will.
Of course not.
No, never. That was a once and done thing.
Of course. This is not a trial run at all.
No, not at all. Because we would never say that,
no,
would we?
No.
But if something like this were to happen again, even though the World Economic Forum, you know, was planning for it and doing their little...
Yeah, experimenting with what if scenarios, just in case.
But do you think more people would say, no, I'm not going to comply? Or do you think... we'd see this mass like we did before, like, yeah, I'm just going to just go do it and say, do what they say.
You know, I hate to say this, but people are just, we are so you know, we've studied psychology so much that they really know what they're doing to grab us, right? Think of Pavlov's dog. Do you know Pavlov?
Yes.
Okay. So that's that conditioning. Like you ring the bell, the dog salivates sort of a thing. You have this positive stimuli to a neutral stimuli so that you can basically train a dog or whoever to respond to something. We do that all the time in business and government, and you don't even know that you are part of the experiment. I will never forget Panera was introducing their self-checkout things, right?
Right.
So you go in, if you use their iPad to do your order, you got a free cookie. I mean, literally, it was like you're responding to a dog.
I like free cookie.
Yeah, well, like so did I. Cookie. I'm like, this is great. So I go and, you know, I got my cookie and I'm like, wow. And they do it for a few months and all of a sudden they take the cookie away. But now you're trained. Now you would prefer to go to the iPad rather than talk to the cashier. And they have you. And they use this over and over and over again, no matter where you are. If you think about it, it's rewards driven, even your credit card to get you to go into this digital currency economy, right? Mm-hmm. They're giving you rewards for using your credit card. So you get extra cash back. You're like,
I have to admit, I'm guilty of that because I'm like, oh, I want points.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone is because it's a reward. And then all of a sudden there's no cash. Everything is trackable. There's no privacy. People can steal your data very easily, as we both learned as you try to steal my data.
Yes. Yes. Stephanie and I had a little incident. She asked me to check in, go into her Gmail account to check something. And I did. And a couple months ago,
it was recent, a while ago.
Yeah. Never thought of it. And then just recently I tried to order a meal or a lunch for our office. And guess whose credit card and information popped up for me to charge that meal to? Stephanie Coxon. Yep. And her credit card, I never looked. I mean, when I went into her Gmail, I never looked at her credit card. Or
it's not even linked.
No.
I don't link my cards to anything.
Right. And once I realized I had access to her credit card, I went on a shopping spree.
Yes. It got you really far at Kmart.
I don't think Kmart exists anymore.
I know. Well,
Walmart.
That's...
Okay. But we learn like that is the craziest thing.
Yeah.
Because just by looking at an email.
And then I got your receipt through my email.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've basically morphed into one person.
Correct.
But it made us like pause to say, wow, how easily transferable this information is from looking at one email or going into one thing that we didn't think was linked to anything else. And so, you know, we're coming up on this anniversary of COVID and this. The 4 years, it's been four years. It seems like, I don't know, in some ways that it just happened and in other ways, a lifetime.
Yeah.
And I do personally think that it was a trial run for something bigger to come. Can I say that?
Yeah. Well, who's stopping you?
Yeah, I can say it, whatever. And I hope, and we're talking about this because we hope that other people are talking about this with their friends. I talk about it. I have 20 something children. I talk about it with them. Just say, are you aware? And when this happened, and you know, you need to have a strong spine to stand up to these things.
Absolutely. Cause you're going to fall for it again. They're going to use the same psychology that they did the first time around. It, you know, we are very much driven by both love and fear. And so fear is what they use, or positive reinforcement. For example, you get a donut if you get your COVID shot. And sadly, that worked for some people. They were getting free stuff all over the place because, you know, they got to go to McDonald's to clog up their heart. They got to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
My daughter's college was doing a lottery.
Yes.
You know, you could get really big prizes if you put in your vax card or whatever, submitted it.
Yeah.
And then they used that other tactic. I'm doing this for you. I'm wearing mask for you.
Right.
I'm getting a vaccine for you. And I know that's why I was disinvited by things by friends, you know, and I was like, well, if it works, why you have it? Why should it matter if I have it or not?
And the logical response to this is when you travel, right, you would get particular vaccines to travel. Why? Because other people were not vaccinated. You're protecting yourself from that environment, right? So why is that no longer the case? So what's the purpose of travel vaccines? Because it serves no purpose if you're going to show up and they don't work anyway.
Right.
You know, so we've just completely flipped logic on its side with all of this. And people have got to see through just small critical thinking kind of things.
You said a word there that I don't think is in vogue anymore. Critical thinking.
I'm probably going to get arrested any moment.
Yes, if they you come use the term. Our phones probably just heard us say that. And whenever I have your credit card on my phone now, and Stephanie, I always joke that we will probably end up in re-education camp at some point.
Yes.
And we just hope they have a pool.
Yeah, and that we're together.
Yes.
Yes.
Because we feel that that would be helpful.
And if they had margaritas on the side.
That would be
because
nice.
Because if I'm going to be in that situation, it would be the opportunity not to take care of my body and I could just drink.
Right,
because
we're in re-education camp. Yes. So we could margaritas and swim in the pool and you know, be out in the sun. So that's our hope for that particular situation. But, you know, there's so much, and we hope you go back and reflect on those things and the things that happened.
So that when it comes again, you're mentally, psychologically prepared for the scenario.
Correct. And ready to stand up against it and to think through it.
And think through it. Yes, absolutely. And the one thing I would say is I think what really makes it easier is having someone stand with you. You know, you need to have a friend. It's much easier to go into a hard situation when you have a friend that's willing to be awkward with you.
Yes. And we, through that whole situation, found our people.
Yes.
We are at an age, well, I'm not going to tell what age we are, but we're more than in our 20s.
A little bit.
Yes. And we found our people. We found a whole group. And it's easier. You're exactly right. It's one thing to be in the store. Well, actually, we kind of have the same personality with people screaming at us and telling us to go to hell is kind of humorous to us in the middle of the grocery store. But it's better to find your people now. So when you are confronted with those things, you can stand together. I just did a devotional today in Ecclesiastes about two together are better than one. And three cords or three strands make the cord hard to break.
Absolutely.
And we found a whole gaggle of people.
I love that you use gaggle. I love that you use gaggle.
And they have strong spines, but they're also snarky and sarcastic.
And you need humor.
Yes.
As long as you can handle it, you don't need a safe space.
And they're attractive because we did learn that
Republicans are more attractive.
Conservative women tend to be more attractive, but we're not trying to, you know, we just, it's science, basically. It's science.
That's exactly
right. So
on that note, perhaps we should take a quick break.
Okay.
America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser, anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps. You can find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu nav bar at americaoutloud.news under our shows or schedule. You'll be in the know.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. Gilrite is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on americaoutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, americaoutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud for 25% off.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
On break, have you been eating the Gilrite bars?
Yes, we were able to try the bars.
Yeah.
And they come in four different flavors, and they're like a vitamin in a candy bar.
Well, I think it tastes like, yeah, I think it tastes like candy. I love three of the four. As a matter of fact, I usually bring them to work with me so I can have like a snack in the afternoon. Usually it's gone by 11. I get so excited to eat it. Like I tend to eat it very early.
I know when we got the bars, you texted me and said, I feel like I'm eating candy.
Yes.
I like the lemon. My husband really likes the chocolate pomegranate.
So good.
He loves those.
And I tell you what, so one of the things, you know, during this, what you learn is you really want to take care of yourself, right? Because you want to have good terrain. You want to have a good immune system. And these bars, you know, when people think about metabolic health, really what they think about is their blood sugar. But metabolic health is actually your cardiac risk. There's other factors that go into it. And this bar, just by eating this delicious bar that I feel like is like a piece of candy that I should not like.
Right.
You can actually supposedly shift your metabolic rate with them. And I am like super excited to see what happens. So,
I know we're with some of our girlfriends and we were talking about these bars and you were talking about metabolic health because a lot of them had a different opinion. They only thought blood sugar.
Yeah.
And you were educating them that it's so much more than that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, and the things that we need to be aware of. And I think you're exactly dead on right. And that's something I've learned about investing in my health, that when something does come on, whether it's COVID, the flu, or anything else, you have to be healthy.
You do.
You have to take it seriously.
And I noticed, like, within the first couple days of eating the bar, my gut health shifted a little bit. I could tell a difference, and I don't want to, you know, this is very personal. This is embarrassing for me, but I'm going to say it.
Okay. There's lots of people listening, so I'm just wanting to help.
I'm going to back off. But there's some noticeable things that happen with these bars that is awesome. So I was surprised. I really was.
So he'll write bars, and I urge people to try them and see how that affects your health.
Like it.
And eat a candy bar that's really vitamin packed and nutrient packed.
I wouldn't say it's like necessarily just vitamins, but it's nutrient packed. Yes. Yeah. That actually shifts, you know, some of your, like your gut health is really what I'm noticing first and foremost. We'll see what happens metabolically. And let me say this, when you have good metabolic health, you know, right now, if I look at a cupcake, the cupcake's on my hips. Like, it's no joke. Like, I don't even have to eat it. It's like there.
It just flies right onto you.
It does. Okay. When you have a good metabolic rate, that doesn't happen. You can actually eat the cupcake on occasion and be okay. So that's my hope at the end of this 8-week journey, that is why I can eat the cupcake and not go up, you know.
We all need to have goals. So a plug, you know, for good health and eating nutrient dense food and trying this wonderful product.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So as we're talking about health and kind of moving down that same road, you know, are you doing things to try to keep your immune system up?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you to you. I take vitamin D every day and some supplements, magnesium and elderberry zinc mixture. And I found that quercetin, yeah. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, it's close enough. Okay.
I found that that's been wonderful. I have barely had even a cold for the past 2.5 years since I had COVID, and you helped me recover from that quickly. And because I'm doing these things, when I start to feel a little sluggish, I take the quercetin, I do those kinds of things. I am on like day, I'm going to brag a little bit.
Go ahead.
I am on like, I forget what it is, but I'm over 500 days, like 530 days of walking 10,000 steps every single day. I haven't missed a day.
That's amazing.
Well, and I say that because and I want to be healthy out of spite. Because of all these, you know.
Right, because everyone told us we were going to die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They were all predicting our demise. And so I want to be healthy.
Joke's on you. Well, not really, because they're dead and they don't know.
Well, you know, But we.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah, that is. But.
Can I take that back? I feel really bad now, kind of.
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of people.
But they did wish death on us.
They did.
Yeah.
I had a guy in the grocery store during COVID who screamed at me. It was always I got screamed at in the produce section, which I find to be somewhat ironic.
It was the meat section for me.
Meat?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was always for me in produce. He screamed at the top of his lungs, "I hope you die and go to hell." That's what he was yelling, because I didn't have a mask on.
Yeah.
And as someone who's a person of faith, I just said, well, that's not going to happen. And he yelled and screamed to the point he said I was jeopardizing his health, and he left the store. And you know, I had all these people pretend cough on me.
Oh, I didn't have that.
Yeah, I had like that 3 or 4 times.
But I think I'm scarier than you are.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't pretend cough on you.
No.
No, but, you know, it again, that craziness. So I am investing in my health. We had friends on a couple of months ago talking about that and the importance of that. Lost weight, trying to eat better, and just do so many things. I find it when I see someone walking around with a mask on still. Yeah. I just saw someone the other day. The mask was filthy, so that can't be helpful. And they were getting like a giant big gulp soda.
Probably not helpful for them.
No. And I'm thinking, you obviously care greatly about your health to be wearing that mask while you're drinking.
No, but here's the thing. They can go with their insurance and they can get their meds covered by their insurance, and they can do more damage to their body and go down the same road. And what really bothers me about all this is what we do, right, is not covered by insurance. Your vitamins are not covered or anything. No. And as we're watching prices go up, economically, people are struggling. And it is so frustrating to watch what is happening because of what the government is doing. And it is. It's the government that is causing it to be so bad for us U.S. citizens, where we cannot afford to eat well. And even if you're trying to eat well, it's so confusing because they've allowed so many poisons into our food. And so my heart just breaks for people because they really are stuck in a bad system that they don't necessarily know how to get out of.
I just saw recently, and again, this is part of our water cooler conversation. You know, people are talking about inflation. You go to the grocery store. I came home the other day. I said to my husband, that little bit of stuff was $150, you know. Yeah. But grocery prices, I just heard this the other day, are at the highest rate of people's personal and family incomes in 33 years. So people are spending more on the food. And like you said, and the sad thing is, food, the cheap kind of junk food is cheaper than sometimes the produce and healthier food.
Unless you're getting like bananas. There's some things.
Do you know, I thought of you the other day. I needed a snack. I went in and you said that on the show before about a banana. I went and got one banana, took it to the checkout. It was 13 cents.
See?
Yep.
That is much cheaper than a candy bar.
It is. Absolutely. So, you know, but that is a concern because people are hurting economically. And that's another thing, you know, people talk about prices and food and so forth. One, investing in your health, eating well actually will save you money down the road.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to have the doctor bills and pharmaceuticals.
The more ingredients listed in that box that you buy, the shorter your lifespan's going to be. It's plain and simple. If your food can, you know, if you're eating McDonald's that can last on a shelf for 20 years and nothing's going to touch it, what do you think it's doing to your body?
I just saw that a donut chain unveiled some donut that came out that had 95 ingredients.
Wow.
Yeah, that can't be good.
That cannot be good.
So, you know, that's a problem. And affordability of, and people, you know, I don't think inflation is going to get better. People say, oh,
right.
If you hear the government.
And what really gets me with some of the inflation stuff is it's because of government regulations. So, you know, you're watching your electricity bill go up, you're watching these utilities go up, and it's because of the regulations your government is telling those companies they have to do. This is so government driven, and that's what people need to understand. You have got to vote in the right people, support the right people who understand fiscal responsibility, who understand that, you know, climate change is a way to entrap people. It is not there to help you. I mean, for
climate change is COVID. It's another
method of control. That's exactly right.
I know a number of utility providers, again, because of my work and work with a lot of different people that sponsor the organization I work with and so forth. And they are all looking at rate increases because of what you said, mandates for infrastructure changes and so forth, because of, you know, mandates and regulations by the government.
Yeah.
So while the government right now is saying, oh, inflation is calming down, it's better, that is not going to be the case when inputs like energy and utilities increase.
That's right.
Because that goes into everything that is made and produced and food. I read recently that farmers are looking at 30 to 35% increases in their costs for planting and so forth for the new season.
And I love, you know, this is a good, I love what the farmers are doing in Europe, how they are throwing manure into like government buildings and stuff like that. I mean, that people are fed up. I mean, in the U.S., I don't know why we're so complacent. Not that I'm telling you to go throw manure at people. That's probably not the best.
No,
the best
probably,
method. Yeah,
that's
we should not.
Something we should.
No, that'll get us into the camp quicker.
Let's put a disclaimer. We are against throwing manure for the most part.
No throwing manure.
Yes.
But, you know, you do need to stand up, say no, get a group of people, you know, and really fight for your rights. This is it. And your rights come down to the state level. You've got to work at the local levels if you want to protect yourself. This is not a federal thing. The federal government has limited powers overall. It's your state that has the ability to actually protect you.
Well, and that comes into when you say like farming, of telling farmers what they can plant, what they can't plant, when they want to do it. You know, zoning requirements and so forth.
Yes.
That's all at the local level.
Yes.
And again, I think it's, and I say this, I bet you every week that we're on here, it's about control more than anything else, because there's so many things that don't make sense. Like the lab grown meat, you know, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No, by the same people that purport to care about your health.
Well, you know, the cows just have a lot of farts.
Yes. That was a thing with climate change, right? That we need to stop cow flatulence.
Yes, because that's natural.
And we are told that by the same people that are flying their private jets to all
Correct.
Around the world to help us.
I was told recently by one person that the cow eats a lot more and drinks a lot more than other animals. And I said, well, what other animals? He's like, well, a sheep. And I said, well, you realize that like three sheep is like a cow. So are we talking about three sheep as the equivalent? Because you really can't compare the two unless we're talking weight, and depends on the type of cow and everything else. There's no logic in any of this. None.
No. And you are somebody who has raised sheep and cows, right?
Yes. I love sheep and cows and goats.
Right.
Yes.
They're delicious.
They are delicious. Yes.
So, again, it goes back to you have to think.
Yes.
You have to think about these things. And when you hear about these mandates, and you have to stand up and you have to have conversations about it.
Yes.
If you feel this and someone else is talking about it, and that's why we're talking about it today, you need to put some common sense into maybe your friends.
And you can just drop a seed. You don't have to agree. You can just drop a seed and give them something to think on when they arrive to a situation that they connect the seed to, right? Like a little nugget will go a long way. You don't have to have an argument, just, a little nugget that might wake them up at the right moment is really all you need. And there have been times where, a lot of times that's worked in my scenario. I mean, heck, I was the crazy wacko before COVID who was like anti-vaccine, run away from her. And now it's like, tell me what you know.
Yes.
I mean, it's a top, it's a crazy world that we live in when it comes to this stuff.
And I think you can make a difference. I had that. I do little snarky Facebook posts and so forth. Like when I said I quit the pandemic, and I would put these little things, I'm never mean. I'm not going to insult you. I'm not going to hijack someone else's page. That happened to me a lot, but I'm not going to do it to other people. But I actually had a woman during COVID. It was in August. So March, everything shut down. I'm doing my little snarky posts every day. And again, I'm at work every day and helping. She actually came to an event we had, and she said to me, she said, I just want to let you know, this is the first time I've left my house since March. It was March to August.
Oh,
yes. Wow. And she had very advanced degrees, a very smart woman. She said, I was just petrified, paralyzed by fear. And she said, you were doing your smart, snarky little posts and so forth. And she said, you actually, and I would laugh. And then she thought, maybe there's a different perspective. And she said, I'm here today. And that was the middle of August, 2020, because of snarky little Facebook posts. And I say that was kind of an aha moment for me.
Yeah.
That, as you said, we don't have to be confrontational and recite every study we've ever seen, but dropping the seeds can change. And we have to be willing to do that, not just with our health and those issues. There's an election coming up. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I have not heard.
None didn't hear anything about it.
I am so excited. Okay. So you're going to think I'm crazy, but I love Kennedy and I love Trump. And if the Robert Kennedy Jr. And if I walked into the voting booth, I could honestly say it would be the best day of my life. Could be the first time in history that I would, be excited to vote for either. Well, I guess now he's an independent, even though technically he's a Democrat.
Is he officially running? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he is. Officially. He's like at 34%.
Okay.
He's really
I have some
up.
Issues with some things with him, though.
Well, I know. He's not exactly like us.
No.
But he is about freedom. I would love to talk. He is about freedom. He's not, he's definitely not on the same level every conservative, but Trump, look, when he first got into office, I almost didn't sleep in the same bedroom with my husband because my husband was voting for him. And I thought he was awful. And then when I saw what Trump actually did, I love him. I mean,
I'm the same.
I mean, I appreciate what he did. He showed me that America could be America.
I agree. I was not a fan at the beginning. I actually, in the primary in 2016,
I was a cruiser.
That's who I voted for too. I voted
I'm
for
not
Cruz. No, I voted for Cruz as well. But then I was like, okay, because the alternative was so awful.
So bad.
Well, now it's worse. It's just awful. But but then exactly same as you. And I just recently got to see Trump at a rally, which was very cool. And he's like, I don't have to do this.
Right.
He has money. He has whatever he wants.
And if they can go after him like they are, they will do it to every single person. We have to stand behind him is my thought because of what they're doing to him. Because otherwise, if they take him down, all of us, they're just going to pick us off one by one.
We just had that conversation with some friends of a friend of ours that does not like him at all. And we said, yeah, and that's fine. I mean, there are some personality things there. Fine. I give you that. But if this can happen to him, these frivolous lawsuits and the insanity, mm-hmm. this the thing down in Georgia, whatever her name is. Oh, my Lord. The district attorney, Fannie.
Oh, my goodness.
These people, it can happen to every single person.
Yes.
And we have to be aware of that. And again, that's think you have to separate from the personality sometimes to see, and also what he did for the country.
Right.
And he does love this country and wants it to succeed.
Yes.
And be the country, the shining star on the hill.
Oddly enough, I thought he was too liberal for me when he first ran.
Is that right?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, now I'm like, if he doesn't win if the other side wins, we're doomed.
You mean if Biden wins?
Well, I don't know that he's aware that he's running. So I have to make a confession here, Stephanie. I am unable to call him president. I call him the White House occupant.
I don't blame you.
Because all I think he knows is that he lives at this place and it's a big house and he wanders around there.
Aimlessly, I'm sure.
And there again, people are like, oh, that's terrible. And I'm like, what concerns me more is there are people that want to vote for him.
Yes.
When they watch him, the poor gentleman can't
do much,
say much. And yet people are like, yeah, I want to vote. That's who I want to be the leader of the free world.
We are the laughing stock of the free world right now.
Can you imagine? I saw that he made some comment, Biden, the White House occupant. He said that numerous heads of states around the world have said he has to win. And I thought, oh, I'm sure they did tell you that because they want you to win because
they can do a lot more.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
Let's face it, you know, in this NATO crap he put us back into, you know, we're the only ones paying it, not the only ones, but we're practically the only ones paying into it. Like, we're watching so much of our money go to other places. Meanwhile, our own people can barely afford groceries. You know, it's crazy that we are looking at funding the Ukraine with a war that has nothing to do with us. And we have people who literally cannot, you know, day to day feed their children.
And I think we have had more illegal immigrants come into the country in the past 3 or 4 years than the population of like 36 states or something.
Yeah, I heard that. Yes. I heard that. And, you know, you're paying taxes for your kids to go to the government schools. I'm not going to call them public schools.
Because they're government schools. It's like me, White House occupant. Yes. You always say government schools.
Yes. And you're paying taxes. Your kids are supposed to go to these schools. And now in New York, they've actually shut the schools down, put them in online school so they can put the illegal immigrants into the schools. I mean, how as a taxpayer, are you not concerned?
How are those people in New York not just off the rails about that?
I don't know. Well, aren't they losing population?
Oh, yes. If you compare the economies of the red states versus the blue states, you know, the Texases and the Tennessees and the Floridas, they're gaining population while California, New York, people are leaving in droves. And, you know, it just boggles the mind. I'll tell you something that really made me mad recently. So I work at a food bank and we have an organization that goes out and helps migrant workers, mm-hmm. people that come here to pick our produce. They work hard.
Yes.
And they're doing it.
I'm okay with them.
Oh, absolutely. Because we need them. They do a wonderful job and they're doing it to support their families in whatever country.
Yes.
The thing is they come do it and then they go back to their families. And we're talking about this because we help some of these folks that are here because they suffer with depression and addiction because they're isolated away from families and so forth. Some of them leave their families, husbands and wives, come here, pick fruit for 5 months, leaving their kids back in their home country with family while they are here to earn a living. You know what makes me so freaking mad? I'm mad on behalf of those people. Because they are working hard, they are doing something, they're earning a living, they're making sacrifices. Meanwhile, you have these people coming across the border. You saw that guy in New York flipping us off in the camera after he beats up a policeman and he gets free credit cards, room and board in a nice fancy hotel.
Yep.
That slaps in the face those people that are working hard and trying to do the right thing.
Well, the majority of the immigrants coming over are men.
Yes, men. You see the pictures.
Yeah.
It's not families.
It's not families. And when they're showing up with some kids and stuff, but these kids are not their kids. You know, when Trump was in office, they were doing DNA tests to find out who these kids were. Now it's just these kids are disappearing in the U.S. and it goes to some of that sex trafficking stuff. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about it, but I can tell you about 12 years ago, my husband was in Brazil and he was warned of what our government was doing to sex trafficking. And I was like, that's crazy. There's no way that's going on. And to look at what is happening today and how they've taken away those DNA tests and just allowing all this stuff to happen, you have to ask yourself, what's the purpose? Like, why are they allowing this to happen? I think there's an internal something going to happen. Maybe it isn't going to be a virus. Maybe it's,
Oh, I agree.
I don't
We had
know.
Senator Doug Mastriano from Pennsylvania on, who spent 30 years in the military intelligence, and he talked to us about plane loads of kids that, they did a stopover in Pennsylvania and with only a couple of adults on, and no one could say they were immigrant kids, what happened to them? And that is, I just can't believe that's possible. And like you said, I adopted two kids. I know what you have to go through to adopt a child. It takes months and the paperwork and tests and stuff. There's something seriously wrong.
There's something wrong on all levels within the US. On all levels, there is something wrong, and you've got to wake up to this and just start saying no. Your tax money is not being used to help you, protect you. The original purpose, intent of the government is to protect its citizens, and they are not doing that on any level, not with our food, not with our medicine. They are all bought and paid for. And here we are with the results of that, a couple hundred years later. It didn't take long.
Right. And we have millions of people in our country that we don't know who they are, their purposes for being here, and it's a crime. It's a crime. And I hope that people see this. We're at the point you just can't shrug and say, "Oh, well, I'm not into politics," because this affects your life and even more importantly, the life of your children and
If
grandchildren.
you tell me you're not into politics, then you're not into health. You're not into your, you're not into having an abundant life. You're not into protecting your religious freedoms and being able to go to church. Like you're not, all of that is wrapped around. They're coming after everything so heavily. And if you're not into politics, you're losing everything that you may stand for.
Right, because those politicians, quote unquote, write laws and make rules and so forth that affect your daily life. And you said it earlier, especially at the local level. A lot of us, will come out and vote this year because it's a presidential election, and we should. It's really important.
You've got to vote at the local elections. They are
Yes.
so light. I work every single poll every year, and people have got to show up and vote, even if it's not the exciting election with Trump.
And that is at every level. I worked a poll this past year, or fall, for one candidate, a school board candidate, a mutual friend of ours. She was on, she was actually our first guest on this show back in the fall.
And she
And
won.
she won. But it was that important. And I never, I honestly, I don't, I wouldn't have done that a few years ago, just showed up for a school board candidate.
No, pre-COVID, I was all la-di-da. I was more like, I'm not into politics. I mean, seriously.
Right. You were, I was like, get the vaccine and be done with it. You were kind of like, I'm not into this political stuff.
Correct. Just don't make me get a vaccine and we're good.
Yeah, I actually have been involved in politics. In college, I was in College Republicans. I got beat up at a Geraldine Ferraro rally campaigning for Ronald Reagan in college.
I feel like
I'm
I've
not going
heard
to tell
this
this story, but it is a classic story. So,
classic story I've heard 10 times.
yes, I know, because it's just a pivotal moment. But I got out of it because I was like, they're all bums. And honestly, when Trump came around, he kind of reignited me to get involved, because it was, and I think that's why there's so many, we get, they say the MAGA movement. But it's because he just incites in people a passion to want to take their country back.
I will definitely say 2020 was the most exciting election for me ever to vote in, because I was able to vote for someone that for the first time in my life I believed in. I did not believe in him in 2016, so that one doesn't count.
Okay.
But 2020, I did. And
This
I,
is like a confession
it
hour.
is a
And
confession
with that,
hour.
we're not Catholic, but I feel like we could have
That's,
gone in the
I
Catholic or
wonder
the
if there's any
confession.
priests listening that
I
would
don't
help
know,
us
to
through.
listen through. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry. But it was a pivotal moment for both of us.
Yes, absolutely. And that election infuriated me. I don't think it takes a genius to figure out that everything was not above board.
No, we don't have enough time to discuss that.
No,
and that's gonna, being an election denier will surely send us into re-education camp.
We're already in. We're on a list. We're already in. So what does it matter at this point?
Absolutely. But again, and I keep saying it, and probably if you're listening, we're preaching to the choir.
Maybe not. You never know.
No.
Someone could find it accidentally and be like, who are these Looney Tunes?
Right.
And then be like, you know what? That does make sense.
And I say that we are just wives, moms. We never envisioned doing a talk show on a conservative network like America Out Loud.
No.
A year ago, much less 4 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it's true. But being able to give people just information to live by, to make their lives a little bit, to give them courage, a little inspiration to change this country back to what it could be. The great America that we grew up knowing and feeling and seeing.
And I hope that people realize sometimes you feel like you're the only one, especially if you work in a liberal workplace or in a blue state.
I don't work at a liberal.
No, you don't. And I don't either. But you start to feel like you're the only one. I know a lot of people are like that. Like no one thinks like I do and whatever. There are a lot of people that, like, if you think like we've been talking the past hour, there are a lot of people like you. And I encourage you, as we have found, go find your people.
Absolutely.
Because that makes all the difference in the world.
Do you know where I have found a lot of my people?
Where is that?
Starbucks. They're workers. There's a lot more conservative workers than you would think.
In Starbucks?
Yes. I'm telling you. It's like a super secret. They don't tell each other. I tell them all the time. You just got to talk.
See, I go into Starbucks and I order a small black coffee because I refuse to say those other words. And
I know.
Saying black coffee is almost like no one has ever heard that, because usually the orders have like 42 words. That's just a personal soapbox I have. But I haven't found that at Starbucks, but I found that in other places. And if you have, we found a group of women that we connect with and we do things with. If you don't have that, go make one. Go find one Absolutely. Friend, then go find another one.
Yeah. And just until you have a big enough group, and then you're creating those relationships, you're dropping the seeds and you're changing your area. You know, you don't have to be doing something great. You can literally just, you know, stand where you are. And to the extent that you're able, stand up, step forward, and speak out.